following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Anyone can say they're the best, and it's not easy being the best. Get in and see why Wizards is the best. Gifts and smoking accessories are on sale right now at reduced prices, including a large selection of Woodwick candles, vaporizers from Puffkin, Grenco, Wolf, and Stealth Hybrid, shirts, hats, and adult novelty gifts. Say Radio Memphis and get an additional 20% off at checkout. 15 minutes from West Memphis, 1999 Madison Avenue in the heart of Midtown. Online at wizardsmemphis.com. Open every day. Wizards, because it's still smoking. Must be 18 years of age or older to purchase smoking-related items. Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland. And I'm back, and so is my cold. I don't know what the hell happened. I was doing great there for a bit, and it just relapsed. And I woke up the other morning, and my head was just completely filled with snot. So you'll pardon me if I'm doing a lot of that coughing and snorting and sneezing and all that other stuff. Although it's not as bad. It feels more like an allergy attack than anything else. And it's just an annoyance. I'm full of nose drops and cough drops and all of that fun stuff. But hey, I'm here. It's all good. Aside from that, I'll be fine. It ain't going to kill me. Although my wife was gently suggesting, she goes, well, you could have pneumonia. So what the hell? You expected me to have pneumonia? No, it's not in my chest. It's all up in my head. So I'll live. It'll be fine. It will be groovy. We'll all survive. I don't know how far we'll survive. Granted, the things that have been happening. Last week, we discussed how the president wants really no part of the media. And apparently that tradition is going to continue on, his new thing. And here's what I wanted to get into this time about is, you know, of course, last week we talked about the importance of having a good media environment, a good institution that is journalism. It's got its problems like anything else. It's got its ups and downs, but there's enough of it out there for you to be able to determine, you know, to determine the facts of any given scenario. The media also gets blamed for a lot, fabrication and things like that. And it's easy to do that, but it is also easy. It's easier now to tell the truth than it is to fabricate, because the second you start making things up and the second you start lying about something, somebody's going to catch your ass doing it. You know, thanks to the internet. It's like those things about, you know, I'm so glad that I didn't grow up in a social media environment. You know, we came up in a different generation. And as such, there is a trade-off. The photographs that were taken of us as youngsters back in the day, they're permanent. They exist somewhere. You couldn't delete those. Those were actual physical, you know, photographs, you know. And yeah, there was photo manipulation back in the day, but you know, there is that. But you know what I wanted to get into this time, and this comes from a perspective of having been in the industry, about the journalists themselves, who they are, the reporters, the people that you hear about. Who are these people? What are they like? What are the stereotypes? And there's quite a few stereotypes. And I still maintain pretty good relationships with a lot of the people that I'd worked with over the years. I did spend a lot of time in television. I was a journalist myself, a reporter, before I shed that mantle and got into show business instead of infotainment, which is kind of sort of the same thing. But journalists here of late, they've been taking one on the chin, if you will, from the man in charge. And the thing is that these are people that are very good at what they do usually. Okay, these are people that rarely get into trouble, and I'll call them out as we go along. For example, prime example, those of you who consider Nancy Grace a journalist can go ahead and turn this off, because she's not. She's a windbag. She's only out to just run her mouth, a self-aggrandizing individual who just talks just to hear herself talk. And she's incredibly biased on her point of view. And nobody gives a shit. You know, people are kind of tired of that. That's not a journalist. Don Lemon at CNN. He's a quack. He's a farce. He's actually kind of a moron, if you want to get down to it. I've seen him a few times, and he just doesn't. He doesn't speak well for himself, and he's kind of an idiot. You know, he asks really stupid questions. How he's still on the air, I don't know. But then again, they also have Nancy Grace, so you know, say what you will. But that's not a reporter. The reporters and the true journalists that exist out there, people, frankly, you've never really heard of. And that's a good thing. These are people that don't interject themselves into the story. Television news has gotten so bad about that. That's where I mainly worked, was in television news. And these people are a very unique breed of individuals. There are some very good ones out there, of course. And by and large, there's a lot of idiots in television. To give you an idea of what their headspace is like, it's like, okay, let's look at it this way. When you walk through a newsroom, right, when you are going in to apply for a job, or they're bringing you in to interview, and you walk through the newsroom, which is this vast open room with a bunch of cubicles in it, it is as if you have walked across the Namibian desert and come across a family of meerkats. All these little heads pop up. Those of you in this business know exactly what I'm talking about. All these little heads pop up, and they're all looking, and you want to see who's the face that's coming down there, and they're looking at, they don't give a shit who you are. They'll go, well, he's going to take my job. That's it. It's over with. Because they're incredibly competitive amongst themselves as far as vanity goes. It really is the case. Radio people, not so much. But the idea that therefore, you know, there's a person walking through the room that's going to take their job. I've witnessed this. I've seen it. Hell, I've been a party to it. The industry is built in this narcissistic environment, which, as luck would have it, is sort of appropriate right now because of the narcissist that sits in the White House. And that's going to make it a little bit easier to cover. Now, there was an open letter that was presented to the White House from many journalists, very well-respected journalists, who have said, look, if you want to kick us out of the White House press room, and you want to kick us out of the White House press corps, that's not going to stop us from saying the things that we're going to say and to do the things that we're going to do. Their job is to bring facts to the table, not truth. Truth is down, you know, you can go somewhere else for truth. Facts are facts. They're indisputable. Facts exist in the physical realm. And a good journalist and a good reporter knows this. You know, there's a running gag in the business. Let's not let the facts get in the way of a good story. I've seen that happen a few times as well. But by and large, when you're talking about the old mainstay reporters and journalists that say, for example, live and work out of Washington, D.C., these are people you cannot bullshit. Now, they are a very different set of individuals. They are in the mindset. It's like if you've ever been around a woman with a vindictive streak in her. I say this because I know people that when something is wrong, or you are wrong, or that person is wrong, they will dig and find every relevant or irrelevant fact to prove to themselves that you're a wrong imbecile. That was the whole point behind Nancy Grace's type thing, but she failed on all those accounts. A good journalist is a lot like that. They can be very tenacious. Now, look, media people in general, they're kind of sick. All right, there are some stereotypes that do exist amongst journalists, and some of you will probably laugh at me for outing them. Some of you journalists are going to find it fairly amusing, I'm sure. You want to get a bunch of journalists together, offer free liquor and food. Hell, screw the food. Bring on the liquor. They'll show up in droves. if you want to have a news conference that you think is important, but the rest of the world doesn't, bring liquor, a lot of it, and they'll fucking show up. They sure as shit will. You know, throw out a few dozen tamales and by God, you know, and throw a kegger in there. My God, you'll have you a news conference. By God, that's and that does it's. I'm overgeneralizing, of course, but there's some truth to it, because a lot of these people are pretty hardcore. That's, you know, and that's just it. But what I mean by the kind of sick is, A, most of them, especially the television ones, they're narcissistic people. I've seen it happen. I've seen these women that have no desire to tell the facts or get the story straight at all. They don't care what comes out of their mouths. They're more interested in how they look and how they are being presented. They want that. It's this look at me, look at me, look at me shit. It's like, oh, we can't have a story without a stand-up in it. You know, the stand-up is the part where the reporter is actually on camera out in the field and he's delivering his line or her line or whatever the case may be. I was never one of those types of cats. I did it when necessary, but that's just a tool that you add to the piece, right? But when it comes to a lot of these women in this business, they are, by and large, some of the most self-centered idiots that I've ever met. And if it seems sort of heavy-handed, let's make it perfectly clear. I'm not talking about all women in the business. That's certainly the case. I know some very, very smart ladies that do a very good job of this, and they're fine with that, and I'm fine with that, and everything's great. They'll even tell you who the narcissistic bitch is in the studio because they are there. There's no doubt about it, but it's not just the women. There's a lot of guys that are that way too, and they're like, I don't care. I don't give a shit what comes out of their mouths. That's why you see these stories about, you know, Ma and Pa Kettle with their salt and pepper collection, that the salt and pepper shaker collection that they've had since 1937. That somehow is news. Is it relevant? No, it's not, but it fills the time, and that's the bottom line. Now, back to the hardcore journalists. These people, they're also a bit sick. You have to be. You are surrounded by an incredible amount of tension all the time. A lot of stress, a lot of tension, a lot of morbid shit goes on. That's why it's not uncommon in a newsroom to find a death pool. Little inside joke. It's not even a joke, it's the truth. A little inside bit. I once won $80 when Sammy Davis Jr. died because I predicted the day and date that it happened. And I know there's some people that may listen and go, oh, God, y'all are sick. Yep, we sure are. Because of the amount of horrible things that you get exposed to on an hourly basis, it's worse now than it was 20 years ago. Because now there's no news cycle of, you know, we got to get on by the 5 o'clock news. That shit doesn't exist anymore. Because really, television news isn't as popular as it once was. However, I mean, still people watch it and all, but to get to the real nut of the stories, it happens every stinking second. You can look up anything right now while you're even listening to this and get a fact on this or get a point of view on that. You can see where certain things stand, where they're falling apart. As far as the story goes, what everybody's all worked up about, you can get it right now, right this instant. And because of that, there's a sense of competition, as I mentioned before, between journalists that have to be the first to get, you know, to get the story. They are the ones that are going to be the ones to get that scoop, that almighty, you know, that lead. We had it before everybody else. That's what drives that bus. But that's also an incredibly dangerous bus to be driving because, and I'll tell you why, in a rush to get their stuff out so freaking fast, they wind up posting or delivering news that is not true and thus becomes, or as this learned now, alternative facts. The fuck? The idea that they can get this out quicker than anybody else, that's where, let's not let the facts get in the way of a good story. But a good journalist, and there are some out there, there are some very good ones, they will wait. They'll hold back a little bit. They want to make sure that everything is verified. They have heard a rumor. Now they've got to go verify that rumor. And they've got to do that with two or more sources. Not just one, but they can need like two or more sources to verify it. That's how that's done. And these people work tirelessly to get that so they can get it out as quickly as possible so they can legitimately be the first to deliver that piece of information, because that's how usual trust is built. Remember when Brian Williams over at NBC had lied about his thing over there? That was strictly vanity. That's a good example of how that is. It was a point of vanity and was a point of competition. He wanted to explain to the world that he had undergone this warlike situation. Therefore, he should be trusted because he'd been there before, and blah blah blah. And he'd been shot at, and it turns out it was not true. But what I'm baffled by is that NBC did not fire the man. He was the head of he was the one doing the NBC Nightly News. They didn't fire him. They suspended him for a little while, and when he was done with his suspension, they put him over on MSNBC. Granted, Lester Holt, who's doing the NBC News now, and I've said this before, I think he's a far better journalist anyway, and he's certainly a trustworthy fellow, at least in my estimation. And I know just me mentioning a lot of this stuff gets people politically riled up. Oh, how could you like this person? They're liberal. How could you like that person? They're horribly conservative. Mainstream media is a term that does get thrown around quite a bit, especially now, because the mainstream media has been blamed for a lot of things. Some of it is probably well-deserved, but most of it is not. If the message doesn't agree with that person's point of view, then you shoot the messenger, right? Is that how that works? No, it's not. But that's what we're doing. We're not allowing these people to speak. We're not allowing them to write what they need to write. And as such, the people that are doing a fine job of this, and I'm talking the real hardcore journalists. I'm talking about the guys with scotch running through their veins. These are the guys that are chain smoking and they sleep 2 and 3 hours a night because they're constantly working, but they're working their ass off. And they're getting everything verified, and they get this big story, and it goes to press or it goes on the air, and they've got something. But somebody doesn't like what's being said, and it's factually correct, and they don't like what's being said. Then all of a sudden, that reporter is guilty of being biased. It's a no-win situation, really. And the people in this business know this. This is why reporters and journalists tend to be a little different from everybody else. They are people who, first of all, they're people, but they are people who have a very, very different mindset than the rest of us. And thankfully so. Having been there, having walked that line, it's not necessarily cut out for me. You develop a lot of time developing your contacts and your sources and where you're going to go to get to verification for this, that, and the other. And there's a lot that goes on, a lot of backdoor deals and shit like that goes on to make this thing possible and real. And as such, when it's all said and done, you get kicked in the nuts over it by somebody, and away you go. Next thing that happens with a story after it's broken and after it goes out is that within a day or two, it becomes, hey, did you hear about blah, blah, blah? Or, hey, I need to line my cat box with yesterday's paper. You know, it's what happens. You know, today's headlines are tomorrow's fish wrappers. Because we consume so much. And then we immediately we take these little bits, like it's a buffet, all this news, and never once consider the people that are actually putting it together. And there are people out there that live by an old school code of journalism, which is, it's not your opinion. It's not the reporter's opinion. It can be, but it's not. You present all the sides of a story, of any given story, the best that you can. And then you do this in a factual manner. There's a guy I used to work with, and I see his stuff on social media quite a bit. He lives up in Indiana, I believe. Ray Steele, friend of mine, used to work with me over at Clear Channel here in Memphis. He worked for our News Talk station at the time. He and his lovely wife, Jen, both great talent. But, you know, Ray's one of these cats that he has no problem confronting a particular statement with a fact, and it pisses people off, much to my delight. I find it incredibly amusing to me to watch people who sit there and go, oh, well, this is all wrong because blah, 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 blah. And then somebody else goes, no, this is what's going on. Fact A, fact B, fact C. Go check it out for yourselves. You know why? Because a journalist has no more access to information than you do. They really don't. They just know how to work it. And they know how to get it right. And they've developed sources, and they've gone a long way to make that work. They're still a bunch of drunks, yeah, but they're good at it. I like poking the old business every once in a while because it's important. It is important to have a free media. And I mean free as in the ability to go where they need to go, like any average citizen, and to be able to ask questions and to demand answers to those that we hold accountable. That's what their job is. And then afterwards, they all go to a bar and they smoke 3 or 4 packs of cigarettes apiece and, you know, drink a gallon or so of scotch and eat a lot of chicken wings. That's what they do. So let this be a little bit of a lesson. When it comes to what you see, hear, read from reputable sources, okay? I'm not talking about the biased pieces. They're out there. But from reputable sources, consider those that have devoted the time to make that story as factually correct as possible. Because it's, like I said at the beginning of the show, it is virtually impossible to lie and get away with it. Because there's too many of us with the access of the true facts. We can verify everything that we see. As a citizenship, we can, and we should. Our job is to ask questions, not just journalists, but as people. We should question just about everything we see. It's sad, but we kind of have to. This whole mess, all this talk about how many people were at the inauguration versus how many people were at the Women's March. Well, first of all, the facts are pretty clear. Second of all, blaming the media for something that is not, you know, your point of view is not going to get a job. Lying about it is certainly no way to win over any friends. And thirdly, and really quite frankly, most importantly, who the fuck cares, right? Does it really matter? Oh, this is just another conspiracy by the media to, you know, you know, if that was the case, then there'd be journalists that would be running for political office. Because really, being a journalist doesn't pay shit. It really doesn't. The old days of the local television news anchor that was pulling in the big bucks, there's a few there. There's a few markets where the guys have been on the air for all this time, and they're making a good 6-figure salary, sometimes even more. Well, the reporters and all, I mean, shit, when I first started in television news, my first on-air job, I think, paid me, what, $14,500 a year. Yeah, that's what I got paid. You know, granted, that was late 80s, early 90s, but still, that's not too terribly long ago. And it pays far less to be in radio. I can assure you of that. So it's not like these people are doing it for the money. Much like myself, I don't do this for the money. Money, how cute of a concept. There are those of us who work so very, very hard because we enjoy what we do, whether it's this craft, whether it's the idea of being a journalist, whether it's entertainment, whether we're a musician, an actor, an artist of some sort. We do it because of the love of the industry. And you grow a thick hide over this because when people start bitching, you just, fine, bitch, complain. We don't care. These are the facts. And that's how we have to deliver them. And that's what we always do. And that's what they do. So my hat's off to the people in the media, the people that practice the art of journalism, those communicative bastards that are so good at it. My hat's off to you and keep doing it. It's going to be a tough time for a while because they are going to be shut out of everything, or at least attempted to be. It's not going to stop them. But their road is going to be a little bit more difficult. So what do you do? Light up another Lucky and knock back an extra glass of scotch and get back to it. Because that's what they'll do. And they won't stop. They won't stop until the facts are laid out. So if you know somebody that works like that in this industry, in the news industry, in the journalism, you know, send them a note. Tell them thanks. Because if it weren't for them, you wouldn't have a foggiest notion as to what the hell is going on in this world. Now, the other, you know, 99% of these reporters that are out there that are just spewing out shit just to get likes and clicks and views and all that other stuff, those guys, y'all can go fuck yourselves because you're just getting in the way of the real professionals that know what the hell is going on. Develop your own trust for your own news and verify it yourself. That's the only way you can be sure. Anyone can say they're the best, and it's not easy being the best. Get in and see why Wizards is the best. Great deals on gifts and smoking accessories can be found right now at Wizards. Check out the large selection of Woodwick candles with new lower prices, vaporizers, shirts, hats, and so much more. Say Radio Memphis and get an additional 20% off at checkout. 15 minutes from West Memphis, 1999 Madison Avenue in the heart of Midtown. Online at wizardsmemphis.com. Open every day. Wizards! Because it's still smoking. Must be 18 years of age or older to purchase smoking-related items.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
So is that like, I don't know, part two last week of Rick's rant in journalism and media? Take it for what it was. You know, it was things that had to be said, things that needed to be defended, things that needed to be attacked. That's what I do. It's much like anything else. Now, would there be a third part to that? Nah, not really. Why should there be? Because it's quite simply this. The burden of all facts and all truths have to come from those who consume it. And that was the point of that last week. And I hope that got through to you people. It's far more important to have that information, you know, to yourselves and in a place that you can hold dear and that you can trust. That's just it. Being trustworthy right now is the single most important thing that can occur. And the problem is, we've all lost that. And Lord knows, I don't trust any one of y'all motherfuckers. That's just the way that shit goes. Right now, though, I need to look at a cat video.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Hey, let's get into some music, shall we? Let's have some fun here with a group of guys that have been around a long time. They're just so damn talented. They've got a big following. We absolutely love them to death. They play Memphis a couple of times a year. They all live here. Actually, they live on the road. They're constantly out there on the road. They're everywhere. And they're probably playing a show near you at some point. You can find them online. Look for Lucero.com. That's right. That's the band today. L-U-C-E-R-O, Lucero.com. They're a lot of fun, as I mentioned. Very talented songwriters and great musicians. And just all around nice guys. They're fantastic guys. So, do yourself a favor. Check them out. When they come to your town, you'll want to see them. But if everybody's going, hey, who's Lucero? I'm going to play you some. How about this? This is the Devil and Maggie Chascarrillo, Lucero from Radioland.
The cops shut down a short mad dog last Friday night. Maggie slipped at me out the alley door just in time. Driving, what a piece of luck. Back
Lucero from Radioland, a song that Devil and Maggie Chascarrillo. It's a song that you can hear at Radio Memphis. You know, it's up there in regular rotation, along with some of their other tunes. Go buy their records, enjoy it. They've got some relatively new stuff that's out right now. So add it to your collection. And when they come to a town near you or in your city, go buy a ticket. Go to the show. Tell them that I said hello. You know, John C. Stubblefield on bass is a very nice guy. Sweet dude. Friend of mine. Go out there. Go see him. Say hello to him. And tell him I said, you know, hey, what's up? Get back to Memphis is usually the words that we need to hear. They play here usually around the holidays. They have their Lucero family Christmas or family Thanksgiving. And they work with guys like the North Mississippi All-Stars and and stuff like that. So these are great shows. Go see them. It's a lot of fun. All right, kids. That's it for me. I'm done. I've had enough. Hopefully you were able to learn something. You heard what's coming up next time. So in the meantime, take care of yourselves, take care of one another, and for the love of God, stop shooting each other. We'll see you next time. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.